Heavenly Father, we glorify thy name, Lord. What a time in the presence of the Lord, in the congregation of the saints. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you already got, up to this moment, Lord. We give you all praise and glory. Great deliverances brought here for his anointed. No other God can deliver after this sort that you have had this morning for your children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now come to pass, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee, did not say, and with you always, even to the end of the world. Fear thou not, only believe, said the Lord. I wish to overcome all things. He that overcometh shall walk with me in white, even as I overcame and sat on my Father's throne. So you have overcome, you also sit with me in my throne. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, by the grace of God, the midnight cry, where we are all familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. So this morning, the midnight cry. The parable of the 10 virgins is one of the Lord's parables concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I will read the first few verses of Matthew 25. And then I go from there. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the parable concerns 10 virgins, right? As I said before, very popular parable with every Bible reader, right? And so these virgins are, they are of a bridal party, right? Who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. There is no mistake who this bridegroom is, right? That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's one of the parables of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know, say there are 10 of them. There could have been 20. But the master, the almighty God, say, he said there are 10 of them in the parable, right? Number 10 means what in Bible symbology? Number 10 in scripture symbolism signifies completeness. That's what 10 means in Bible symbology. It means completeness. For example, when I mean that, in the Bible, the genealogy of Noah completed the antediluvian age in the 10th generation. I will skip the Bible version for that one. I'm showing you that the number 10 means completion. I give some instances or ideas. So the genealogy of Noah completed the antediluvian age in the 10th generation as we read in the Bible. Also, there are 10 commandments, right? So 10 means completeness, right? There are 10 commandments in the Decalogue, right? Now, there were 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt in the time of Moses. There were ten rebellions in the wilderness when the children of Israel marched through the wilderness. That I can quickly read for you. There were 10 rebellions in their Numbers 14:22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times. See, 10 meaning completion, right? They tested the Lord 10 times in the wilderness. I can keep on go on about 10, be the number of completeness. Now, the people of the nations that were caused were not allowed to go into the congregation of the Lord to the 10th generation. That's Deuteronomy 23, verse 3. So the people of the nation that were caused, which are not to enter to the congregation of the Lord, there were 10 of them to the 10th generation. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, and I read. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord even to their 10th generation. I'm showing you how in Bible symbology, 10 means completeness. I can go on, but I will stop right there. So to the 10th generation, they won't enter in there, So the Lord chose 10 in that parable, 10 virgins, right? So I want to explain to you why he chose 10. The human body, for example, is created with 10 toes and 10 fingers, right? So that's completion, right? So 10 is completion. Our numeric system, even in the day-to-day affair, in secular, in the change of man, our numeric system is a series of tens, right? You count from 1 to 10, right? You begin all over again. Level is 10 plus 1, right? So there are series of 10. 10 is completion, really. All the time, 10 is completion. So our numeric system is a series of tens. The numbers 1 to 10 complete the digits and begin a new series. The number 10 prefigures the church or the church's many organizations, groups, nationalities, and forms of service that are in existence at the end of the dispensation. So the 10 virgins therefore represent all true believers. Within the church visible, the Lord chose 10 of them. So it remains. So they mean the all true believers within the church visible are what these 10 virgins represent. They represent all those looking forward to the imminent return. Not just the Lord coming, they are looking for the imminent return of the bridegroom, anticipating it before even the time. See? Now, the parable portrays the final scene or the event that occurs at the very coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, we know in, I said often here, virgins doesn't mean that, it doesn't allude to the married life, really. Virgins in Bible theology is saying, is talking about people, that are really loving the Lord, God's people, really. The Bible speaks of the believer as a chaste virgin, separated unto Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, without me reading it, that scripture I've been read here. I don't know how many times I've read that scripture here. So that virgin, they mean people have been separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They are clean. The term virgin is used in the book of Revelation also to designate the first fruits unto God, in whom there is no guile at all. Revelation 14, 4 to 5. That's really right there. So the many people have been separated from the world unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Thus, in the parable, the virgins represent believers and not a reference to the married life, in summary. So we want to understand this parable, talking about the midnight cry, right? Now, the lambs represent what? We are told that these virgins took their lambs and went forth to meet the bridegroom. In scripture symbology, the lamb represents the word of God. I will just give one scripture and skip others. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So many other scriptures depict that unto us. So we see that. It was by means of the lamp that these virgins were enabled to go into the darkness of the night to meet the bridegroom. See? Because it was in the night time, right? When they went out there. It is by means of the word of God that the lost people are able or enabled to know and understand the glorious truth of the coming of the Lord. And I will put the very soon coming of the Lord. This is the most important message in church history. Not only the coming of the Lord, but the very soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away the coming of the Lord for the church, that nothing left. Praise the Lord. Amen. See? Now, okay. So now, I will just do that one right there. So these 10 virgins, the Lord put a difference between them. In the beginning, they all looked like virgins, you know, and they were. But there's a difference, really. So until the point in time, the 10 virgins appear as one united band, sharing the same expectations and having a common interest in the same event, like the body of Christ as a whole. They began as one, like in the early church, you know, have the same expectation, the Lord is coming, and the same thing. But over time, what happened over time? You know, that is the critical thing right now. But a difference appears, and it is manifest in the preparations that were made. How did they prepare for the coming of the bridegroom? How is the different part of body of Christ preparing today? There are even some people that even talk about the coming of the Lord at all, and they go to church every Sunday. They don't even know anything about the coming of the Lord. Should it be so, really? Anyway, so 5 were wise, Lord told us, and 5 were foolish. Although all the 10 carry a bright shining lamp in their right hand, only half of them carry a store of sufficient oil along with them to replenish the lamp during the long night watches. See, they didn't know how long it would take the bridegroom to come back. They didn't know, you know. So, but five were wise. Whether I know how long it takes, I don't care. I have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? They carry enough oil with them. So, in the case of the foolish, their preparation was insufficient. Where the oil, we have said it over and over here again, many of us know this, the oil in the scripture is the standard symbol for the Holy Spirit. So God intends his people to be anointed with that oil, meaning with the Holy Spirit, even as the Lord Jesus was anointed. In Acts 10, in Acts of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost said in verse 38 in Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about being good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right there. David being a type of Christ in the Old Testament time, when they are not a king in Israel, when they still have theocracy, meaning God's wrong government, before they now now want to do it like other nations, all their kings were anointed. And in Psalm 23, David being a type of Christ, in verse 5, thou anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. So, you can give a whole subscription about oil being the standard symbol for the Holy Spirit in the whole scripture. I stop right there. So, the scripture declares that a believer is anointed by the same spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the same anointing that the Lord Jesus Christ had upon himself. So you as a Christian, in 1 John 2:20, we are told, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and it's truth, and it's no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him, meaning in Christ. That is 1 John 2:20, I don't know that you know. So we see the idea. All the 10 virgins, they had oil in the beginning, right? At the beginning of the journey, they all have oil, right? You know, but and for lambs, for example, lambs will not burn out without some oil running out in there. So what happened was that it is so simply made that some of them did not take any additional oil in their vessels with them. That's their fault right there, you know. So that means that the wise carry extra supply of oil. The scripture say that this oil, meaning the Holy Spirit, to bring it to home to you and I, is a treasure. This Holy Ghost that I'm talking about is a treasure which we carry in hearting vessels. That is us. That is in our bodies. And the power of that Holy Ghost in you, in these earthen vessels, shines forth to give light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. So we are talking about this thing because of the importance of the Holy Ghost. See? God's word come in there, that word is a lamp unto my feet. Then the oil come in there, which is the Holy Ghost, right? Can you see the things that get the people ready for the coming of the Lord? So the scriptures say that oil, the Holy Spirit, is a treasure which we carry in our hearts and vessels, in our body. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in hearty vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we are told again that our bodies or vessels are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are told in a rich man's house, there are many vessels, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We all strive to be that vessel of honor that God can continually reside in, you know. So in 1 Corinthians 6:19, I talk about disowning ourselves. As a Christian, You don't want to just do what you want to do, right? You are not your own. We are told in the Bible. You are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord, of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? So when you are a Christian, you're no longer your own. You belong to the Lord, amen? In one scripture, say the body is the Lord, amen? You are just a caretaker. Your spirit is a caretaker of this temple, which is the temple of the Lord. See? So let us know what we are doing with this temple of the Lord and live for the Lord. So fulfill God's promise or purpose in our lives. And to be ready to meet the bridegroom, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know? And we know this. Every believer has a measure of the Holy Spirit. So don't let the devil trick you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of it. So all Christians have a measure of the Spirit of God. And we are told in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So we know that. However, I haven't said that. There is a measure, or there are measures, because there are all kinds of doctrines out there. Some will say that, when you are a Jew Christ, you have a measure of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit is in measures, you know. So there is such a thing as the fullness of the Spirit of God. So, and it is God's purpose that we should all receive the full measure, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's God, you know. We have to say this here because there are doctrines out here. Yes, as a Christian, you have a measure of the Spirit of Christ. But there is a fullness of the Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's God's will that all should receive such fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is evident then, where I say I'm going, that this full measure of the Spirit is what the foolish virgins lacked. Correctly. That's right. So there is the word of God, which is the lamp. There is the oil, which is the Holy Ghost, and all that, you know. So, and the Bible says that walk in the Spirit, right? So we see right there, and then that's how you overcome. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. No man can live the Christian life without the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's the problem, you know. People want to, you can't do it yourself. Bible says that he that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is for righteousness. Praise the Lord. You depend upon the Holy Ghost. That's why you have to listen to the Holy Ghost. Be walk in the Spirit and something that you know. They that in the flesh can never please God. We are told in the Bible. But ye are not in the flesh, amen? God says you are not in the flesh. Don't be in the flesh. Praise God. Anyway, so we see right there. So we see, going in this parable and so on, this midnight cry. Then the unexpected delay happened. Even the disciples in the early church, they think the Lord will be coming in their own time. They think the Lord will come like 6 months after he has gone, something that you know. Anyway, so in this parable, that was an unexpected delay. The parable informs us that there was an unexpected delay in verse 5 of Matthew 25. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The group of maidens they tried out, they go out there, you know, a considerable distance. They go out to go out to a prearranged place to meet the bridegroom, right? And they all went out that night, I think that you know, and they were with the bridegroom right there, waiting for the signal that will tell them that the bridegroom is here. So they all went out, like the church all went out and so on in the beginning, waiting for the coming of the Lord, right? So now, you know, but as the night began to progress, because they got weary, they called it as a delay, as a tarry, and the bridegroom tarry, they all slumped and they all slept, right? So we know what happened right there. So when that sleep that they slept has a meaning spiritually too. Why the Lord gave this parable? In fact, it translates to a spiritual sleep, really, among many things, of which we are warned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, that's a spiritual sleep. You have to be very careful to be awake, really, you know. It says there, therefore, let us not sleep. See that? As do others. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is, let's say, this thing is really teaching, you know, the 10 virgins and so on that were taught in this parable and so on. Anyway, sleep talks of many things. Sleep means inactivity. See, that one of the things that sleep means. And spiritual sleep too. When people are asleep, what happens? They are unconscious of what goes on around them. Danger may be near them, but they are unaware of it. The house may be on fire, and impelling the whole family, because they are asleep, they won't know. The same thing is happening spiritually, you know. So, and the sleep of the 10 virgins indicates other things that we can learn from. It illustrates the abandonment of the church in the middle centuries to the hope of the second coming of Christ. Many believers are asleep today. They are unaware of the imminent coming of the Lord. Very, very sobering lesson, you know. Happened in the ages past. So, for a time, the early church, like the 10 virgins of the parable, was eager, expecting the Lord's coming anytime at that time. Before you know it, slowly, the church lost that hope. They lost the hope of the coming of the Lord completely. Like even today, you know, how many people are preaching the soon coming of the Lord? If I thought they are preaching it, the most important doctrine right now, you know. Anyway, so the Lord, the hope. Due to the long delay of the coming of the Lord, the truth of the Lord's return was gradually forgotten. Even in the early church, and so in the Middle Ages, rather, you know. So, along with the waning of that hope, that hope began to wane away from them, was a decline of spiritual life in the church. When anybody of church doesn't expect the Lord, you can expect and see spiritual decline. Amen? Praise the Lord. See? So, and that was what is happening in the past, happening today, and that, you know. So, Christians became indifferent and apathetic. That is, they lost interest in the coming of the Lord. See? They lost all interest. All enthusiasm is gone about the coming of the Lord. You know? Because by the thing they do tells you what they think of the coming of the Lord. You know? You see? So anyway, so they lost enthusiasm, they lost interest by the coming of the Lord. At the time they lost interest, most of them, about 50% of the church, they lost interest is when the midnight cry was given. Amen? The time they all lost interest. But suddenly, at midnight, a cry was made. Verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Well, watch and see. Midnight. Midnight was the hour when the bridegroom was least expected, just as we are in this age right now. See? It was the time least expected the bridegroom to come. The parable suggests there are four periods of time in the parable. In ancient time or reckoning, even in the early church, there are four watches. There are four watches in ancient times. There are four night watches. There is one from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's one watch. 9 p.m. to midnight, another watch. Midnight to 3 a.m., another watch. And 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., another watch. So four watches of the night in ancient time. So the four watches could be viewed as the changing attitude of the church towards the second coming of Christ at various periods of history. We are looking at these four watches. We can tie it to different viewpoints. One of them is the different attitude of the church towards the second coming of Christ at various periods in the history of the church. One, there was the period when the virgins readied their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. This answered to the period of the early church. Christians in that day, they were eager, looking toward the return of the Lord. It was a time when the church was alert and active for their Lord. Don't forget, sleeping means inactivity, right? You know, so that's the first watch, see? Number two, then there was a period due to the bridegroom's delay that the virgins who were, you know, they were weary with washing, they fell into sleep and slumber, a deep slumber. They fell into it. How long they slept, we're not told. See? During this period, the church lost or became only dimly aware of the hope of Christ's second coming. See? It was a time of moral and spiritual apathy in the church, meaning no more enthusiasm about the coming of the Lord, you know, and the pure answer to the second wash, you know. We can look at those four washes of the ancient time in different viewpoints. Number three, of how we can see the four watches, is this. Then came the midnight hour. At the beginning of the third watch, the virgins were awakened up with a cry and arose to trim their lamps. That's verse 6 of Matthew 25, where this trimming of the lamp can speak to a short, powerful revival that takes place during the midnight cry. Amen? Praise the Lord. We can tie that trimming of the lamps to a short and powerful revival just during the midnight cry. There has never been a time than in the last and present century when there has been a heralding of the message of the second coming throughout the earth. God has been sounding the alarm, the midnight cry, in our time. Number four, about these watches. Number four, finally, there came the moment when the bridegroom actually came, which answered to the fourth watch. We are very, very in that watch right now as we live today. You know, the nearness of his coming is changing from imminency to immediacy. In our Revelation series, we talk about those two words. There is imminency, there is immediacy. The nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is changing from imminency to immediacy. It can come anytime from now. See? So, and more significant than the changing attitude of the church at various periods toward the second coming of the Lord, it seems evident that the main purpose of this parable is to focus attention in particular on the event occurring at the very time of the coming of the bridegroom. That is the most important thing about this parable. The event happening at the coming of the Lord. That midnight hour, meaning, which is the darkest hour of the night. Midnight is the darkest hour of the night, right? The Lord is coming at the darkest hour of this age. See? Which is where you are living right now, you know? So, it is the very time when the bridegroom will come, the darkest hour of the age. Bible says, darkness shall cover the heart and gross darkness the people, right? That's what the Bible says at the end of time. So we are living at that time right now. So the coming of the Lord, right now. It was at, for example, going back into Bible, things, something like that, you know, talking about midnight, right? So it was at midnight hour when the firstborn of Egypt was slain, right? And a midnight cry arose out of Egypt to God, out of all the land of Egypt. Exodus 12, 29 to 30. So, it's a general view, even among secular observers, not even Christians, of the significance of events happening in the world that we are living in today. That they agree in so many words that the world has already entered the 11th hour of history. Even with the secular thinking, they think the world has entered the 11th hour of history. It has been pointed out as a curious fact, which we have said here many times. This strange coincidence, if you want to call it a coincidence, to me it's not a coincidence, it's the hand of God. The prophetic clock has been ticking since World War I. What they found out was that, in World War I, that a war that ushered in this unprecedented hour in history, that war came to an end. World War I came to an end at the 11th hour of the 11th day. Talking about midnight cry, right? So even secular thinking thinks the world has already passed the 11th hour of history. So World War I ended the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year 1918. Even, 11th month after General Allenby entered Jerusalem on the 11th day of December 1917. Look at all the 11th line up. Even secular people think that is World War, right? All over the world, that's a World War, right? And it's marked by 11, 11, 11, 11. Even secular thinking that is crossing the 11th hour of world history. There is a word, since the atomic bomb was detonated, there is a phrase common to people. They call it, oh, it is later than you think. That's a phrase that is common to all people today. Oh, it is later than you think. Yes? They are saying that, it's all over the place. This thing, as well as you know, since the atomic bomb was detonated. Often, they will show a clock. The short hand almost at 12, and the minute hand maybe 10 minutes to 12, or 5 minutes to 12, and things like that, you know, as they think. So now, there is what they call the bulletin of the atomic scientists. In January this year, here's what they say. I'm quoting from the bulletin of the atomic scientists based in Chicago. January 23 this year, they wrote, as of January 23, 2020, talking about midnight, right? Even the world think they have passed the 11th hour of history. So the bulletin of atomic scientists in January 23 this year, they wrote this. To leaders and citizens of the world, they wrote, title was this, Closer Than Ever. It is 100 seconds to midnight. That's what they said. I quote them from the atomic bulletin this morning, you know. So they say 100 seconds, that is 1 minute, 30 seconds, you know, to midnight. So if you have a clock, atomic clock, depending on the situation in the world, the danger in the world, they move this clock. As of January this year, they are saying we're now 100 seconds to midnight. And they continue, the first paragraph, humanity continues to face two simultaneous existential dangers, nuclear war and climate change, that are compounded by a threat multiplier, So you have atomic, nuclear fear, climate change, they said. Now this is compounded by a threat, a multiplier, cyber-enabled information warfare, cyber warfare, they said. That undercuts society's ability to respond. The international security situation is dire. This is how I say, dire. And not just because of this threat, they said, and they continue to say, that, but because world leaders have allowed the international political infrastructure for managing them to erode. Science says, you know, even science talking about midnight, you know, how much more the Lord Jesus Christ himself talking about the midnight cry, right? So, continue and finishing up this morning, the midnight cry. Verse 7 of Matthew 25. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answer, saying, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them to sell and buy for yourself. Where, with a cry, all the virgins arose, began to trim their lamb. Like we see that type of kind of a short and powerful revival that will happen in this midnight cry as the bridegroom is announced to come, you know. It was at this moment that the folly of the foolish people of virgins now became so apparent or evident. Due to the long delay of the bridegroom, the oil supply had run out. That's the Holy Ghost, right? They have forgotten about the Holy Ghost. They just live in a kind of a carnal life, you know, things like that, you know. So they were not even ready to admit that their cause was really desperate. Even atomic scientists say the time we are living is dire, you know, as well as, you know. Anyway, they're not ready. So, and but to no avail, I didn't me. It was too late, you know. So, and so we say the lesson is this now about this parable, this midnight cry thing. One thing that this part of the parable teaches us is very clear. There will be a great dismay among a certain part of the church at the coming of the Lord Jesus. We speak not of those who even totally deny the second coming, even among those who think the Christ is coming, who believe, but they don't even think of the imminency. There will be a great, because they're not ready. They think it's just far off. Oh, such our generation. Oh, since the father slept, haven't they just continued the way they are, you know? So those kind of people are still not, you know? So how can they be ready, you know? So there will be a big surprise, you know, at the coming of the Lord. Among those who think they believe in the second coming. Not only to the second coming, you must believe that it is soon, you know, that it can come anytime from now. The day and the hour, we don't know. So that is the lesson we are learning from this thing, and that, you know. So all of a sudden, there was a cry given and so on. So they have indeed looked forward to this event. And now, oh, the awful truth come to them that they are not ready. That is the danger of it all. What is wrong? They do not have oil in their vessels with their lamps. So in this parable, they were advised, go and buy. So, and before they come back, of course, the door will be shut, you know. Well, I'm finishing up here. I'm going to put a note here. Can we be by the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Not in dollar and cents, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We learn in Acts chapter 8, one Simon the sorcerer tried to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we all know that story and so on. The Peter rebuked him. Your silver money penny with you and so on. Can you buy the Lord with the Holy Ghost and so on? That is Acts chapter 8. But having said that, though, it is true, in a true sense, the treasures of God must be purchased at a price anyway, you know, and a sacrifice. That's why we are warned by the Lord himself. In Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. That is the price we pay, you know. Take your cross and follow the Lord, you know, and not only in that. So, in the parable of the tower, the Lord also said this. The Lord taught us that a man should sit down and count the cost first. So, you can't buy the Holy Ghost, you can't pay that, but you have to take your cross and follow the law. And that's in Luke 14:28. For which of you are intending to buy, to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, let happen after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So that is the cost to us. Take our cross daily, following the Lord. So now we see that when the foolish virgin went to buy, the bridegroom came and the door was shut, in short, and they could not come in there. So when talking about the midnight cry, who are they that made the midnight cry? I want to finish with that. Who are those? Because the wise men, the wise virgin slept, the foolish one slept. So who made the cry then? Who made the cry? So and so anyway, so we know that in every wedding, right, the bride plays an important role. Even in the in Christ's own case, the bride will play an important part too, spiritually speaking, and all that, you know. So anyway, it appears that there is a group within a group among Christ's body. Even when he was here, he had 12 disciples, right? Even among those 12 disciples, there are some inner circle among them. See what I'm saying? There were the three that go with him, without actually a ghost, Peter, John, and James, right? Even among those three, there is one by the name of John, right, that lays head upon his chest. So anyway, so we see right there, you know, by the body of Christ and so on and that, you know. So anyway, so the bride is all together than the bridegroom. Last Sunday we talked about the suffering of Christ, right? I mean, Christian suffering and deliverance last Sunday, right? So the bride is all together like the bridegroom. She has entered into the suffering, the Christ suffering, not the suffering of this world, Christ sufferings, right? Persecution, you know, they have suffered like the Lord did and so on and that, you know, is there, and into his glorious resurrection. While the virgin slept, she was awake all the time. The bride is awake all the time. It's not one of those, the bride does not belong, you know, it's separate from the 10 virgins. She never slept. Show me even with the natural. Bible says, for the natural, then the spiritual, right? Show me the bride who the night of his wedding, our wedding will be sleeping and so on that. No, not one. Praise God. They are active. They are active. So the bride of Christ is active, waiting for the coming of the Lord, witnessing, doing everything to extend the kingdom of God. See? In sleep is inactivity. Or maybe your own is intercessing. You know, you wake up in the night praying for the church of God. There is so much to do in this kingdom. There is job for everybody who wants to do something in it. Praise the Lord. You can witness. You know, you can support the gospel, and you can, you know, you can be an intercessor, which every Christian can do as well as that, you know. So anyway, so we see that there. So, see, you know, the bride, she's waiting, you know, expectantly every moment. Her lamp was always ready. And when at last the bridegroom and his party were heard approaching the distance, it was her voice, the voice of the bride, that cried, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." If anybody know the bride coming, I mean the bride coming, is the bride. They are the one that gave that cry. Behold, the bridegroom coming. A group within the group of believers of Christ is what, you know, gave that cry at midnight. Let me finish with Psalm 45. There's a precedent to that in the Bible to show you there's a difference between the bride and the virgins. They are even called virgins, Psalm 45. To really bring it home to you and I, you know. Talk about the king, talk about the queen and the companions. So Psalm 45 reveal the same thing. Verse 8. And I close from there. All thy garments, that's the king. All thy garments smell of myrrh. These are sweet, sweet incenses, right? And the aloes, acacia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have have made it gold. Now, in verse 9, king's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon the right hand, they stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider. And incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So, you see what does that mean? If you love your father and mother, I mean, or even your child, you are not worthy of me, the Lord said, right? So the same thing is saying here, the same Old Testament, you know, and so on, the New Testament concealed here, you know. And the poor daughter, I consider and incline that here, forget also thy own house and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Now listen to this one. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Now look at this. She shall be brought unto the king. That is the bride, right? In the raiment of needlework. Now watch. The virgins are companions. Your 10 virgins. Your 10 virgins now. That is the bride, right? Yeah. She has to be brought to the king, right? Then that the virgins are companions. Those 10 virgins are just companions of the bride. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See? That follows her shall be brought unto thee. So right there, the Old Testament, David prophesying the Holy Ghost, you know, telling us these things, you know. We within a way, the body of, you know, out of that, you know. So you see right there. So that ties in to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, I just conclude that now. So we know get the cry from the scripture, not making anything up, not supposing anything, you know. Just using scripture to explain scripture, you know. No scripture is of private interpretation. See, so we see the idea, you know. So the 10 virgins are different from the bride because they were all asleep. But this voice came from the bride. And the book of Psalm gave us more information. And even science tell us we are only 100, I mean, seconds to midnight, you know. So today they see doom, right? But we know what is coming, right? That the judgment, right? In finishing up here, the Antichrist will manifest itself. First of all, prophetic timeline. The church can go up today. See? Because the day and the hour we don't know. Then call the Antichrist manifestation. We believe it's on the heart today, you know. Wait until it manifested. There will be a temple already up, being prepared in Israel where it manifests itself. The Antichrist will be there, as soon as that, you know. And then when he show up in that temple, what happens? I say, I'm God. Then begin the great tribulation of time. Then the great tribulation leads into the great and terrible day of the Lord. Then you have the vile judgment and the trumpets sounding all over the world, which are all judgments and all that, you know. So anyway, so the church is gone. So let us keep our eye on the Lord by in Mark 13:35. I'm closing with this scripture here to be ready. See, you don't have to be afraid of any of these things. All you have to do is to just follow the instruction of the Lord Jesus. The Lord said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know. So in Mark 13:35, wash ye therefore. He told you what to do. He told me what to do. See? Don't be confused. Wash ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Then he mentioned those four washes. I told you the four washes, right? At even, one, or at midnight, two, or at the cockcrow, or in the morning. See? Mention the, you know, I said, let come in suddenly. He find you sleeping. You see, the bride will not be sleeping. Eh? Praise the Lord. The bride will not be sleeping at all, you know. Right there. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, wash. Now, Luke 21:36. As we close up here, wash therefore and pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. What are the things I just told you now? The great tribulation, the Antichrist manifesting, the mark of the beast. And all of these things, now that's what the Bible is talking about now. Escape all these things. Thank God there's a way of escaping, eh? And the coming of the Lord is only and one way of escape. Praise the Lord. See? And all these things that shall come to pass. So don't say, I want to pray about them. The Antichrist will come. They will issue the mark. Armageddon will go. You can't pray that away. But you can escape, eh? Just say you can escape. And he gives you the way to do it. I mean to do it. So, you know, to come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. So, brother and sister, this afternoon, take your place, sir, in giving the midnight cry, amen? Praise the Lord. Take your place, you know, and so in giving the midnight cry, because we are at that time, right now, behold, the bridegroom cometh. In 1 Peter 3:15, the last scripture here this morning, or something like that, you know, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen? Amen. Be ready to tell everybody. This is your opportunity to witness. Amen. Tell them. You know, don't just tell them the Lord is coming soon, you know. Tell the fellow Christian the Lord is coming soon. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't go to sleep here and something like that, you know. So we're not of them that sleep, you know. I mean, so we are them that are awake, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, as we see the day approach, Bible says we should encourage one another, exhort one another. As we see the day approach, in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's our number one job, really, you know. So we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to read this scripture this morning, Lord, and to remind ourselves, Lord, of the nearness, the imminency, the immediacy of the coming of the Lord. Not to be that, those foolish ones. Want to even supersede what the wise ones did. Want by keeping awake, not sleeping spiritually, but being awake, occupied, till I come, he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us understanding of the times. So as we go this morning, even Lord, expand the scripture to us individually, Lord, and the time we are living in, Lord. Let us not be of them who, like the Jews, we never knew the time of their visitation. This is our time. See, it won't be long again till the Lord comes. All the signs are around us. Where though people make a mistake in the past, but this generation cannot make this mistake. We know of a surety that this is the season of the coming of the Lord. We will never know the day or the hour, but we are told that we are not the children of the night, that the day should come upon us. Now we are children of light. When you see Israel come back again, you know, the fig tree has budded. You know, at the 70 years old, that shall come to our, you know, back to Palestine. Well, this generation shall not pass away until all this will be fulfilled. What is missing? The Lord just kind of hid that what the length of a generation is. He varied it over time, so that otherwise you will be able to know the day of the rapture. But we know we are that season. So as we go this morning, Lord, so Lord, expand the scriptures to us and help us to be bold in our witnessing, to say what he therefore and pray always. Lord, in that day, Lord, let every one of us, Lord, know, meet you in that air, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having escaped all these things. Until that time, help us in our patience to possess our souls. We are living in an age that we are living in now, age of rush, rush, rush about everything. Help us so that in our patience, we possess our souls, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as another scripture that tells us, you know, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, so I come to try all that dwell on the face of the earth. So Lord, help us to keep the word of your patience, Father. Even the husband by yourself, you are waiting patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. So we thank you this morning. We commit all our needs here this morning to your hand, Lord. We believe the scripture, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Our sister speaking the other earlier in the morning, nothing matters but the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, when you seek it first, he will add all the other things which the nations are running after unto you. Let this mind be in us, Lord, daily, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray for our brethren across the earth, O Lord God, that they understand, O Lord God, the sign of the time for the Gentile church, in the name of Jesus. So as we go in the week now, Lord, your presence does go before us, Lord, and you promise us that you give us rest on every side, favor on, you know, with all men, and whatsoever our hands are taught, you promise to prosper them. Lord, we follow up to your promise, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless all the household, Lord, Father, and until we meet again, Lord, we watch between us, Father, and we shall have greater joy even in days to come, Lord, day by day, until our joy be full. Thank you for hearing us, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's also set that to our feet, if you can. Otherwise, just lift up your hand wherever you are. He's coming back again, he's coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again, our Lord is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah, he's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Our Lord is coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. Praise the Lord as we share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, beloved brethren, for your patience.